Turn with me, please, to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. I have good news and I have bad news. They know. Let's start with the bad news. The bad news is, for the last 8 years, there's been this nice little clock on the side of the pulpit that kept time. Well, today, I'm sorry to tell you that that clock died. That's the bad news. A preacher about to preach, and there's no clock in sight. The good news is I never used it anyway, so it doesn't matter. Today, we're going to look at the book of Daniel chapter 3, and we're going to talk about faith, Christianity in a hostile culture. We're going to talk about your faith. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Beginning in verse 8, it says, "Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews." And let me hold on here to give you a little more background that I intended to give you. But prior to where we're reading, King Nebuchadnezzar has built an incredibly large golden statue. And this statue can be seen from no telling how far. It's 90 feet high, 9 feet wide. And King Nebuchadnezzar has sent out a decree throughout all the kingdom, and he has demanded that when the music is played, that everyone bow down and worship this golden image. And whoever does not bow down and worship this golden image will be cast into a furnace, a fiery furnace. And then we pick up in verse 8 where the Chaldeans have came forward to accuse 3 Jews. In verse 9 it says, "They spoke and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in the rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now if you are ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. The expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded that the mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound, their coats and their trousers, their turbans, their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said to the king, "True, O king. Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. I'll ask Brother Greg Long to lead us in prayer, please. Amen. You may be seated. As I thought about this message today, I thought about how appropriate to preach this message on Senior Day. Day that seniors, not in the distant future, will face fire. But you know, the seniors are not the only one who will face fire. If you are a child of God, the first thing I want you to understand is that your faith will be challenged. You will be challenged. Just like the three young Jewish men who in the text did not respond according to the commands of the king. The king, of course, demanded that they worship this idol, pagan, golden statue that he had set up. And because they didn't bow down, there, of course, were these Chaldeans who would have been the contemporary of these three Jews. And they, of course, were jealous. And they go before the king and they say, "King, let me tell you about these three Jew boys that are in your kingdom. I want you to know, O king, that they have not done as you told them to do." They made three accusations. The Chaldeans made three accusations. They said, these Jewish men have not paid due regard for you. You know, put it in our language, they said, "King, these men don't respect you." Now, if there's one thing you don't say to a king is, "I don't respect you." Okay? In that day, it was a quick way to die. The Chaldeans said, They do not respect you. They do not serve your gods," meaning they do not respect your religion, O king. "And they do not worship the gold image which you have commanded them to worship." And that's, of course, to say they do not do what you say. They're rebels. Now let me give you some insight on what's really happening here, okay? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they started out as captive, transferred from Jerusalem over into the Babylonian kingdom. They were educated in the Babylonian system, and when they have since that time of education been brought into the government process, and they have advanced under the leadership of Daniel, which Daniel's not mentioned in this chapter, but they have advanced in the kingdom. I mean, they're doing good. They have no worries, have all the money they want, they have all the great lifestyle they want, they have everything they want and need. Life is good. Everything is well. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they're faced with a choice. And that choice is, of course, my faith or my future. And that's where I want to stop, and I want to remind everyone here that at some point in life, you're going to have to choose. And it's probably one of those points where life has been good. You have advanced at your job. You're doing well at home. All things are good. And all of a sudden, life stops. And you are faced with the decision, do I honor my God or do I dishonor my God? Seniors, when you go off to college, that day is going to happen quicker than you think. Okay? Your faith will be challenged in the classroom. Your faith will be challenged in the culture. Your faith will be challenged everywhere. And you will have to decide, what am I going to be? Am I going to choose my faith? Or am I going to choose the culture? When you're at, but it's not just them. It's for we adults also. I mean, you can get that job that you always wanted, and the first thing you know, you're sitting here faced with a decision because they're asking you to do things that is against everything that you believe. You've got to make a choice. My faith or my future? Even in your marriage. Marriage is tough sometimes, isn't it? Okay, nobody's married in this group. Marriage is tough sometimes. I don't care if you're married to the best person in the world. It's tough, right? I mean, we got to learn how to get along. There are times when it'd just be easier to quit, right? It's another time. You're faced with a choice. My faith that says what God has joined together, let no man put asunder or let no man divide. Or my future, pursuing what I think I want. And I want to tell you, if you pursue what you think you want, it's not going to turn out good, okay? There's coming a time in your life that you're going to have to choose. You've got God on one side and you've got the culture on the other. What's your choice going to be? Well, before you make that choice, I want to be honest with you. I want to honestly tell you that there are consequences if you choose faith. That you look at the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They choose in the story. They choose their God. And of course, their choice is not well received by anyone. The king was enraged. He was furious. And it says the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know what that means? That means you could see it on his face. As he looked at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he didn't look at them like this. He looked at them like this. He went from, I love you boys, to I don't like you boys anymore. You have crossed me. You have made the wrong decision. So he commands, you know, as the Chaldeans tell him, they've disrespected you, king. He says, okay, bring those boys to me. Bring them to me. And he asks them when they arrive, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my God or worship my golden image? Is that true? He didn't even let them answer. He said, is it true? He said, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. He said, now, if you're ready, when you hear the music, you hear the music. If you bow down, worship my God, then good. But let me tell you something. If you do not, you will immediately be cast into the fire. And I love their answer. I've heard this story since I was a child. And I never get to the point where I'm not excited about their answer. When the king he lays this choice before them, and then they say, well, king, we have no need to answer you in this matter. You know what that means? Put it in our language, king, I don't even have to think about it. There's not a choice to be made. The choice was made a long time ago. I do not even have to consider this matter. They said, the God that we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand. I love their attitude when, as the king says, who's the God that'll deliver you from my hand? And they say, oh, king, our God is greater than your fiery furnace. And number two, no matter how this turns out, our God's going to deliver us from your hand. Period. And they close with, our God is able to deliver. But, and get this, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the image. Here's where I want you to consider the what if. King, we've made up our mind. This is the way we're going to go. God can, He can deliver us. He cannot deliver us. But whatever God does, this is what we're going to do. Have you ever considered? Don't we have the mentality? Let's be honest. That we have the mentality that if I make the right decisions, everything's supposed to go well for me. Isn't that what we think? I mean, if I make the right decisions in life, if they ask me to do something dishonest at work and I stand and I say, no, I will not be dishonest, then everything's supposed to go smoothly and well for me. And if I make the right decisions in life and I don't, I draw the line and I don't participate in the wild parties and the drugs and everything else that's available, and aren't people supposed to like me after that? You are severely misled if you think that's the way Christianity goes. Today I want you to consider the what if. You see, there's a right decision to make. But what if it don't just fall at your feet after that? And I'll tell you even farther, it probably will not. What if God doesn't keep you from harm because of the right choice that you make? What if God doesn't keep you from persecution because of the right choice that you make? What if you have to go through the fire to be faithful? Will you be faithful no matter what? I've heard people say, well, it just doesn't pay to be a Christian. Oh, yes, it does. You just hadn't got paid yet. Okay? There's coming a payday. Payday's not in this lifetime. All right? I mean, God does bless us. But there's coming a day, my friends, when the trumpet of God shall sound and Jesus shall step out on a cloud and we'll hear that voice, come up here. And we're going. That's payday. Yeah, God does bless us and He does give us the financial things that we have and the homes that we have and the cars that we drive and all that's well and good. But that's like petty stuff. We're going to get into the big bucks when we get into heaven. That's when life gets good. That's when there'll be no more tears. There'll be no more persecution of God's people. You see, you got to consider the what if. Will you be faithful no matter the consequences? Too many people lose their conviction when the going gets when the going gets tough. But I want to tell you something. God's people have been suffering since the beginning of time. Okay? You go back to Genesis, to the book of Genesis, to the first murder, where it says Cain killed Abel. Do you know why Cain killed Abel? Because of Abel's faith. He did. Read the story. Abel offered an acceptable sacrifice. Cain did not, and Cain got jealous and killed Abel. You go through the Bible, and you look at the price that people have paid. Each of the disciples were killed except for John, and he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Everyone, Stephen, I love the story of Stephen, preaching deacon. I love it. And he was going around, he was telling everybody about Jesus Christ, and he was preaching until the day they stoned him, and he died. What I want you to get, folks, just because you make the right decision doesn't mean that it's easy. It doesn't mean that the world lays down at your feet. But here's the thing. The right choice is always the right choice. Okay? Period. No matter the consequences, right is right. Truth is truth. God is God. You see, it'll bring us to the final part, which is the good part. He says, your faith will result in companionship. The king commanded. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're not going to do it. No, king, we don't even have to think about the matter. The king says, okay, boys, you asked for it. Then he got his best men out of the army. And he commanded them to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the fire. He commanded them before that. He commanded them to make the fire 7 times hotter than normal. Now, you know what's interesting about that number 7? That number 7 is the number of completion. And there's a lot of directions you can go with that. But I wanted to point out to you, that number 7 was used there on purpose. When that number 7 was used, that indicates that he turned the heat up on the fire as far as you could turn it up. You could not have made this fire any hotter than he made it. As a matter of fact, the soldiers that cast them into the fire, tied them up, threw them into the fire, it killed the soldiers when they cast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire. Then the most magnificent thing happened. Get this. If you've ever been through the fire, this means something to you. All right? The most magnificent thing happened. Nebuchadnezzar looked in the furnace. And you know what he saw? He didn't see the 3 guys that he threw in. He was expecting to see them laying in the middle of that fire, just smoldering, burning up. He didn't. He looked in that fire and he said, whoa, wait a minute. Hey guys, did we not throw 3 men into the fire? Everybody said, yes. Yes, we did, King. Boys, I'm seeing 4 men in that fire. And not only that, we tied them up. And we watched them. They should be down in the middle of that fire. And when you read here, you get the idea. King says, behold, I see 4 men walking in the fire. You know what they were doing? They were just out for a Sunday stroll. It killed the guys that threw them in. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were strolling around in the fire saying, oh, it's not so bad. And the reason it was not so bad is because there was a 4th guy. 4th man in that fire with them. And the New King James Version says that it looked like the Son of God. New American Standard says the Son of God. You see, this king didn't know who God was. He said, man, I don't know who this 4th guy is, but he looks like a son of the gods. But we know who that 4th man was, don't we? That was Jesus. You see, here's the comforting part. Yes, you may have to make some tough decisions and decide, I am a child of God and I'm going to be faithful to my God. And you may have to deal with the consequences. It may get difficult. It may get hot. It may get as hot as it can possibly be. But I want you to have this assurance. That is that you will never go through the fire alone. Jesus, the Son of God, will be there with you. Say, how's that, Brother Doug? I'm going through the fire today and I'm hurting. My heart's breaking. I want to tell you a secret that we forget to think about as children of God. The Bible says that we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. That means He lives on the inside of us. You may be going through that fire and you're feeling like this is not going the way I thought it was. This is too tough. I didn't sign up for this. I want you to just stop. I want to ask you, just stop and put your mind at rest for a moment and consider the fact that you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you. You're not alone. You're not alone. Flames may be boiling all around you. The heat may be hot, but you're not alone. You see, we forget that. We start fighting the flames And you know, oh, what am I going to do? And how, I don't know what to do next. Just relax. Just be quiet. And look around. You're not alone. The Jesus who is in control of this universe is with you. Many of you know it. Beth and I took a trip this week, or the latter part of the week. We left Thursday and we went to see our daughter, son-in-law, and grandbabies. Actually, we went to see the grandbabies, but we went to see them on Thursday afternoon. And we got over there and we were spending time with them. And you know, the older I get, the more I'm reminded how special family time is. You know, it's just special. But anyway, Friday afternoon, we had been out on the on their little back deck thing and visiting, and Lila, my granddaughter, had come back in the house. And so I had come back in the house to get a drink of water and got water and walked back to the edge of the living room. She was sitting on the couch. And she said to me, "Pops?" I said, "Yes, sweetheart." I said, "Pops, would you sit with me?" I said, "No, darling, I don't have time right now." You know that's a lie. She said, "Pops, will you sit with me?" And I looked at her and I said, "I sure will. I sure will." And I sat beside that baby and we didn't talk. I say, "Easy, baby, she's 4. And we didn't do a lot of talking, didn't have to. I sat there, she kind of leaned up against my shoulder, and I put my hand over on her leg, and that said it all. As I was sitting there, it was so very real. She's watching the cartoons, and I was sitting there, and God spoke to my heart. And He said, "This is what I want from you." And it wasn't an audible voice. I have not lost my mind. But you know how God just speaks to your spirit. I was just sitting there enjoying that moment with my baby and my grandbaby. And God says, "That's what I want from you. Just time. Just sit with me. Just enjoy my company." You see, I say that because my prayer lately is, and I mentioned this Wednesday night, "God, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know you more intimately than I know you now. I'm not satisfied with where I am as a child of God." I don't think we should ever be satisfied where we are as a child of God. Do you? And so that's been my prayer. "Lord, I want to know you." And boy, that was one of the answers, that this is what I want. I want a personal relationship, an intimate, loving relationship where you can just be with me and enjoy my company because I am your God. And I thought, wow, Lord, that's what I want too. You may be going through the fire. If you're not going through the fire, you will, and you will eventually. When you get there, don't look at the flames. Don't focus on who's done you wrong, how you got here, and how you wished you weren't there. Don't do that. I want you to focus upon the God that is with you in those flames. You may go through the fire, but you will never go through the fire alone. Go back to Stephen. You know, I said Stephen, you know, he's that preaching deacon. And it got him in trouble, got him stoned. But you know what? Stephen wasn't alone when he was stoned. You know what he was? When he was stoned, he said, he looked up into the heavens. And he said, "Behold." He said, "Look, I see the Son of God standing at the right hand of the Father." He wasn't alone. He was in the presence of Jesus. My friends, you may be going through the fire today, but you're not alone. The Holy Spirit of God lives within you. Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. You do not have a high priest that cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He knows exactly what you're going through. And He has promised you, "I will never, never leave you nor forsake you." Now, I'm not saying it'd be easy. I'm not saying that the world will fall at your feet. What I am saying is stick with it and it'll be worth it. All right? Stay with it. Keep the faith. You know who you are. Don't bow down to the demands of the world. I've got to read this last part. I was going to close, but I've got to read this last part to you. And Nebuchadnezzar saw that, verse 26. It says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God." Now, old kings calling their God the Most High God. See, it's made an impact. When people see you go through the fire, it will have an impact on people around you. They'll see it. He says, "Oh, servants of the Most High God, come out of the fire. Come out here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, governors, the kings, the counselors gathered together. And they saw these men, get this, on whose bodies the fire had no power. You know why the fire had no power? Because they served an awesome, powerful God, and they were never alone. They saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair on their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. They didn't even smell like smoke. Now that's God. I want to tell you something. You remain faithful. God is with you. You're going to be okay. All right? You're not alone. You're going to be okay. You just remain faithful. That's your job. Maybe you're here today and you don't even know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to tell you something. You're battling this world alone. You're fighting the fight alone. Don't do that. Especially when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave His life. He came to this earth. He lived a sinless life. And then He went to the cross of Calvary to take your sin upon Himself. And it was there He took your punishment. The good news is, Jesus died for your sin. He was buried. And on the third day, He rose again. And He's alive today. And says, "Come unto Me, you who are weary. Come." Today you can be saved. Today you can have that assurance of a God that's walking this world with you, going through the fires. Or you can go it alone. Don't go it alone. You don't have to fight these battles alone. There is a Savior who loves you. Our Father in heaven, we thank You. And we pray, Lord, for those today who do not know You as their Savior. Father, sometimes it's hard to make the right decision. Sometimes it's hard to remain faithful. Sometimes we do go through the fire. But we rejoice in the knowledge that You will never, never leave us or forsake us. Father, I pray for those who do not know You as their personal Savior. Move among us, O God. Move among us in a mighty way that they may see Your glory and come to You for salvation. Now in this invitation, Lord, we pray Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.